Hey there, this is your host James Wilson, and welcome to another edition of the Bike James podcast. As always, these podcasts are brought to you by MTB Strength Training Systems. That's my company that's been helping riders improve their power, endurance, and skills since 2005, giving you the best workout programs possible to help you enjoy riding more. And also by Pedaling Innovations, the creator of the Catalyst pedals. And the Catalyst pedal is the only pedal on the market. It's guaranteed to improve your performance and comfort, because it's the only pedal that actually looks at, like, how does the foot and the lower leg optimally move, and then how do we apply that to the bike. So between those great training programs and the optimized foot position and power you get from the Catalyst pedals, you got a pretty powerful combination there. So be sure to check me out, bikejames.com, to learn more about MTB Strength Training Systems, and again, pedalinginnovations.com to learn more about the Catalyst pedals. So with all that said, let's get into the podcast. So this podcast is about running, and more specifically, how running can help you become a better mountain biker. And in fact, running is probably one of the best forms of cardio training that you can do in addition to your riding. Now, it seems a little counterintuitive because, as riders, we're told, like, man, just ride your bike. Like, riding your bike is your best form of cardio that you can do. And in fact, that's something that I've told people, like, yeah, you need to ride your bike a lot in order to get better at being a mountain biker. But there are some limitations to just riding your mountain bike as far as the both the benefits that you can get from it, and also kind of the point of diminishing returns that you get from riding your mountain bike, where you actually start to do more than your body can recover from. So remember, when you're training, you're not actually getting fitter and better. You get fitter and better as you recover from your training. So you have this balancing act between training and recovery that equals the results that you get. And so running can help you actually balance that out when you understand how to use it. So for most riders, I find it'd actually be better to add in a run each week rather than add in another ride or some sort of bike-related cardio. So, like, a spin class, or a Sufferfest video or something like that. So, if you're getting out and riding 2 to 3 times a week, then odds are you don't need more on-bike cardio. And I'll kind of explain more about that here in just a second. So, but first, running. Like, why is running important? There's several reasons that running is important, and several ways that running can help you as a mountain biker. And the first is, the most basic, which is that running is an inherent human gift. And like the book Born to Run says, humans literally are born to run. We have several unique gifts that make us better runners than anything, any other, especially endurance runners, than anything else in the animal kingdom. And so this inherent gift that we have, when we lose it, there's consequences. So, when you can't run efficiently and effectively anymore, there's reasons for that. There's postural reasons, there are structural things going on, that are making it harder for you to run. And these things also have health and performance impacts on you. And so, can you not run and things hurt, or did things start to hurt because you can't run anymore? And regaining your ability to run will actually help restore some of that functional movement that you need just to function as a human. So that's the number one thing for me, is that it's just this inherent human gift that we should continue to maintain, because there are consequences when we lose our abilities to run. The second reason is that it's easier to get a workout in running. If you think about it, you can get a decent workout in, and 15 and as little as 15 minutes. In 15 to 60 minutes of running, you're going to get a pretty decent workout. Something that would usually take you about, 1 to 4 hours of riding to get a comparable workout in. And so it's a lot easier to get a quick workout in, adding a run in, than it is trying to add another ride in. Another reason I like running is because it helps to improve your posture and your feel for standing pedaling. The posture is a big part of running. Your ability to maintain good posture is part of your spring, and a good run feels, you know, in the book, Jeet Kune Do, Bruce Lee explained running as feeling like you're chasing your center of gravity and it's just in front of you, but you never quite catch it. So it's kind of this controlled fall sensation that you have when you're running. And that's really what you're looking for when you stand up to pedal as well. That standing pedaling, you know, not under, you know, there's certain circumstances where you need to get your butt back and your chest down and spread your weight out for traction. But a lot of times you don't need that and you're able to stand up. And if you can apply the posture and the feel that you get from running to your standing pedaling, in fact, that's one of the drills that I have people do to help restore their standing pedaling skills is to have them run, you know, do a couple of sprints and get the idea for how that feels, and then get on your bike and apply that same feeling to your bike, and it gives you a better idea for the posture and balance points and how you want to feel for that. So there's some benefits from running that's going to help with your standing pedaling and your posture on the bike. Another reason is that running uses contralateral movements, meaning opposite. So your left arm and right leg work together, and you know your right arm and left leg work together, versus the ipsilateral movement that you use on the bike. And ipsilateral means the same side movements. And so when you pedal your bike, you know, you use your right arm to create the tension and the platform that you're looking for at the handlebar, you know, the levers that you need at the handlebar to push down strongly with your right leg. And so, you know, your left arm is creating the tension for your left leg. And so you're actually using the same side, upper body and lower body, to create your pedaling motions. And so this is called an ipsilateral movement. And the thing is contralateral movements are healthy for the body. They're how our body's made to work, and they promote and are a sign of good core function. And so too much ipsilateral work without any contralateral work can really cause problems with your core function. And so in order to help balance out the ipsilateral stuff that you get on your bike, the contralateral stuff from running will help out with that. So there you go with that. And then finally, it's a great way to introduce true low intensity training to your program. And this is something that I mentioned earlier, that if you're getting out and riding 2 to 3 times a week, then odds are you don't need more on bike cardio. And the thing is that mountain biking is a unique sport, and especially it's really unique in the cycling world, because it's not a true endurance sport. Like it is it has a lot of high tension elements. And so it's almost impossible to go out for an easy ride in the true sense of the word on a mountain bike, just because you're going to hit points on the trail that drive you out of, you know, the low intensity into the moderate intensity and even high intensity realms. And so you want to have ways to have low intensity training as part of your training program. And, you know, a couple reasons for this. You know, one is it's important to build your aerobic engine, because you want to improve your anaerobic power reserve. And what this is how much of your power, your overall power, are you producing aerobically versus anaerobically? And the more power that you can produce aerobically, the longer that you're going to be able to go until you fatigue. Basically, the better that is, the better your actual endurance and performance on the trail is going to be. So it's not just a matter of how much power you can produce, it's how much power of that's being produced aerobically versus anaerobically. And so low intensity training really allows you to build your aerobic engine, which allows you to improve this anaerobic power reserve, which means that you're going to be able to produce more of your power aerobically, which is going to significantly help improve your overall endurance. And so this also helps you become a fat optimized athlete. And this is a term that's becoming, you know, more and more popular, thanks to, you know, books like the Primal Endurance Blueprint and stuff, you know, work that's being done with low carb endurance athletes, and even people, you know, ketogenic endurance athletes, you know, where you're, you know, eating no carbs basically and running basically on fat ketones. So, You know, that term, the fat optimized athlete, it basically means that your metabolism is optimized to use fat for fuel and not rely as much on glucose and sugar. And so again, this has very obvious endurance benefits. If you're able to produce more of your energy through fat than sugar, that you've got a lot more fat reserves than you do sugar reserves. So you know, again, that's one of the goals of an endurance athlete, is to help you know, improve that stuff. And again, a big part of doing that is having a low intensity element in your training program that allows you to build that aerobic engine. But you know, again, this can be hard to do given the high tension, just, you know, nature of mountain biking. So one thing I do want to point out is that you can get low intensity cardio training through riding on the road as well. But one, if you're gonna do that, you should still use your mountain bike. It makes no sense to use a road bike to train for mountain biking. You know, that's not our the reason that road riders spend so much time riding a road bike isn't to build their endurance, is because that's their sport. They ride road bikes. And so as a mountain biker, if you're going to get on the road, you still want to stick with your mountain bike. You don't want to use something that's more efficient to train than what your sport is. You want to use something that's going to be the same efficiency, or preferably even less efficient than what you're going to use when you actually race. And so anyway, so but so if you're going to get on the road, you still want to use your mountain bike. But the other thing that you need to keep in mind is, you know, is your goal health or fitness? And this is really important to keep in mind because they're not the same thing. And it's really, you know, like I said, important to know the difference, because fitness is your ability to perform a specific task. And so, for example, you know, fit to run 100 meters is not the same thing as fit to run a marathon. You know, fit to ride a mountain bike is not the same thing as fit to ride a road bike. And so fitness usually is specific to the task at hand, whereas health is a more general thing. Health is your ability to just, you know, move pain-free, you know, be as disease-free as possible. You know, these things that just kind of allow you to enjoy life on just a fundamental level, especially as you get older, become more and more important to us. And so, but unfortunately, when you don't understand that, it's really easy to sacrifice your health for fitness. And if you're a professional athlete, then that's fine. Then that's your, you know, that's just one of the things that you do. But if you're not a professional athlete, if you're not paying your mortgage based on how you perform on your bike, then realistically, health should be your ultimate goal, not just fitness to ride your bike. And so, if health is your ultimate goal, then I think that going for a run should be the answer to getting more training, cardio training in, rather than spending more time on the bike. Again, if you are a professional rider, then you know, spending more time on your bike is going to be important, because again, that's your sport. But you know, it has health consequences. Ask any professional athlete, you know, how healthy they necessarily feel, and you'd be surprised, like, how many of them are sporting aches and pains and things that they have to deal with on a daily basis, and long after they retire as well. They're a consequence of the stuff that they have to do to their bodies to achieve these high levels of performance. And so, which is great, but as a non-professional, it's better if we look at them and admire them, but still focus on our own health rather than just copy what they're doing necessarily. So, so anyway, so the, you know, moving on, the idea behind everything really is low intensity. If you let your intensity level get too high, you start getting into this gray zone, which is what happens with a lot of people when they run, is that they end up in this middle zone where it's not really low intensity, it's not really high intensity. And they end up just kind of, you don't get any cardio benefits, and you're, you know, just putting more extra wear and tear and stress on your body to recover from. And so it doesn't really work out. And so, you know, yeah, running doesn't work. But that's not necessarily it. It was just, you know, maybe necessarily you just needed to apply it a little differently. And so to do that, the best way to make sure that you're keeping your low intensity running truly low intensity is to focus either on your heart rate, using the Maffetone formula, which is 180 minus your age. And yes, that's really low, but that's the point, is you want to make sure that you're not stressing your body to the point that one, it's starting to burn glucose for fuel. I mean, it's always burning a little bit, you know, obviously it's not just one energy system is turned on and the other ones are turned off. It's a percentage, but you don't want to tip your body to where the larger percentage of energy is coming from sugar metabolism. And so easiest way to do that is with this pretty conservative formula of 180 minus your age. And again, this has been proven through Phil Maffetone and the athletes that he's trained, you know, high level triathletes and other endurance athletes to work. And so, and again, this is really hard. This is what, going back to what I was saying, like it's almost impossible to maintain that heart rate on your mountain bike. And so this is again why running or you know, walking for some people at first may be a better answer to get this low intensity stuff in. Now, another answer is to use nasal breathing. And you know, if you're only breathing through your nose, then that, again, that's a pretty good indicator that you're not slipping into that anaerobic metabolism. And so a trick that I picked up from a guy named Steve Maxwell is to take some water, put it in your mouth, and hold it in your mouth while going for your jog. And this will really help enforce the nasal breathing because it's impossible to breathe through your mouth. So that's what I recommend to make sure that you're really keeping the low intensity side of it there so that you're getting the benefits that you're looking for without putting extra stress and wear and tear on your body. Because the trick is this low intensity stuff is you're triggering your aerobic engine, but you're not putting enough metabolic and physical stress on the body to really make it dig into its energy reserves to recover from. And so once you start getting above a certain intensity level, well, that's not necessarily the case. Now your body is having to dig into its energy reserves to recover from it. And so this is why you want to, you know, kind of, you know, go into those areas sparingly and make sure that your low intensity stuff isn't going there at all to make sure that you're getting the benefits without piling up any negative side effects. So a couple things will kind of help you get started. I personally recommend and use minimalist running shoes. I use the New Balance Minimus shoes to run in. This is just, you know, me and my personal take on it, but I do think that letting your feet be a limiting factor or your limiting factor, if your feet are starting to hurt, then maybe you're running too far or too fast. And so padded running shoes with a bunch of arch support and all that stuff that don't let your foot function like it's supposed to, in my opinion, just aren't the way to go. So let your foot do what it's supposed to do, and your body will thank you for it. You know, but with that comes a word of warning, which is that running takes some specific conditioning of the lower leg and feet. So you don't want to overdo it, which means, you know, don't go out and get all gung ho and go for, you know, half hour, 45 minute jog, or you know, worse yet, not pay attention to your intensity and just go out and run and, you know, wake up the next day like totally tore up and sore and be like, you know, what the hell, James? Like, you know, this running thing sucks. Now I can't even ride or anything. This is, you know, this is terrible. You know, that's not it. Your body, it takes some conditioning, specific conditioning to get used to the impact and just the action of running. And so, you know, starting slow and easy and building up is the way to do that, is the way to do it and way to avoid, you know, hurting yourself or something. So I recommend actually with starting with walking, and especially if you're like most people in our society, you know, we tend to really specialize in what we do. And so if you think about it, you probably haven't been on a long walk in a while, or, you know, much less a jog or something like that. So, you know, a lot of us tend to, you know, sit too much, both at home and at work. And we tend to really specialize with our playtime, which means that you're riding your bike. And so you're not, your body needs to get used to just locomoting again. And so, again, if you've been walking and stuff, then fine, you know, skip this and go to the jogging. But I'd recommend just starting with walking. And, you know, when you can, when walking is feeling super easy, then, you know, walk halfway and then jog the other half and finally jog the whole way. You know, I even recommend starting pretty easy, just like 15 minutes, and, you know, eventually building up to 30 to 60 minutes. of running. And again, you know, if you're watching that, either your intensity level, you may be having to mix in, especially at first, you may be having to do a lot of walking. If your heart rate or breathing start to get higher than what you want them, you need to stop and walk and let them come back down. So, you know, controlling that intensity level is the most important thing. So, you know, 1 to 3 times a week with the running is plenty. You know, three is actually quite a bit. That's for people who really get into it and want to do a lot. But I'd say like 1 to 2 times a week is fine. So, something else real quick that I wanted to touch on is sprinting. And sprinting rounds things out. You don't need to do a lot of sprinting. In fact, just once a week, doing just 3 to 5 sprints is fine. But that will help round things out, because I was talking about, you know, the intensity level stuff. So we've really covered and hammered on the low intensity, but you have the opposite end, which is the high intensity. What we really want to avoid is that gray zone in the middle, where you're not really, you know, high intensity, you're not really low intensity, and you know, that's where you just kind of, you know, waste a lot of time and energy if you spend too much time in that zone. And so we do want to spend some time in the high intensity zone, which is where sprinting comes in. So the sprint should be pretty short. You know, 5 to 15 seconds. Like I said, only 3 to 5 of them. And you should focus on being smooth at 80%, not fast at 100%. You know, don't, you're not, you know, racing for Olympic gold. And so there's no excuse to get hurt. So just focus on being smooth, focus on a good 80% effort, you know, recover as much as you need to between sprints. Do a little warm up and do some practice sprints first before you start trying to, you know, do your, you know, working sprints, I guess, for lack of a better term. But yeah, just get out there and do a few sprints. Like I said, it doesn't, you shouldn't walk away feeling trashed or hurt or anything. You should feel like, you know, good and energized afterwards. But yeah, so between that, you know, the sprinting and the jogging will help kind of round out your cardio training. So just kind of how would you put this together with riding during the week? This is, you know, again, a lot of riders don't think about intensity levels with their riding, and they just end up in this moderate gray zone again, where they say every ride is hard. But it's like, well, no, you know, none of your rides are really hard, because, you know, hard is relative to something else. And so they're all just kind of moderate. You just don't realize it because you just don't have anything else to compare it to. And so, you know, you want to have one hard ride a week where you're going out and, you know, maybe you're going for that Strava PR, or if you're racing, this would be like the day that you know, your race day or whatever. Getting in a couple of moderate rides. And when I say moderate rides, I like to focus on skills stuff on my moderate rides. So I try to really focus on being smooth and efficient. And this is what I advise the riders that I work with to, you know, to do as well. You know, have, you know, one or two things that you're thinking about and you're going to focus on as far as skills training goes, and applying something to the trail, and you know, use those moderate rides to really focus on improving your efficiency and your technical skills, which is a huge part of your performance and your endurance on the trail. So the moderate rides, and you know, after you get on the trail 3 times, you know, again, at that point, getting on more becomes a matter of recovery. You know, it's super fun to ride more, but just understand that you're gonna start running into recovery issues and you know, overtraining potential. And so if you're wanting to avoid that, then you know, making sure that you're one hard ride, two moderate rides, and then you start looking at trying to plug in some easy stuff. And so if you're able to get some easy rides in, great. But this is where the easy runs would come in. And so doing like 1 to 2 easy runs a week. You know, getting in a sprint day, which should be pretty easy to fit in. You know, that's a good weekly cardio schedule for most riders. So, you know, a hard ride, 2 moderate rides, you know, an easy run, a sprint day, and you know, there you go. That's about it. You know, throw in some good strength and conditioning stuff, some good mobility training, and you got a pretty well-rounded program that will really help you improve as a rider while also maintaining some health in the process as well. And you know, making sure that, you know, riding is fun and pain-free is important. So anyways, there you go. So the overall take-home message here: adding in some running to your program can really help improve your performance and your overall health. So again, I think it's something that you should consider adding into your program. And hope I've encouraged you to maybe think about dusting off your running shoes or going and investing in a pair and getting some running going. So once again, this has been your host, James Wilson. Thanks again for joining me for another edition of the Bike James Podcast. Be sure to check me out at bikejames.com. Learn more about MTB strength training systems. I got a lot of free stuff there you can sign up for, free training programs, a lot of free information, videos, again, podcasts like this one. And also check out pedalinginnovations.com to learn more about the Catalyst pedal and how it can help you improve your riding through just better foot positioning and better foot support. So yeah, hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast, and I will talk to you in the next one.